Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to introduce the four talented performers who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And we welcome back four regular players of the game, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, Wendy Richard, and Clement Freud. Will you please welcome all four of them? Anne Ling is sitting beside me. She has a stopwatch in one hand, a whistle in the other, and a piece of paper on which to keep the score. And as usual, I'm going to ask our four competitors, our four panelists, to compete against each other and try and speak on the subject that I give them. And they will try and do that, as always, without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. This week, we're going to begin the show with Peter Jones. Peter, the subject, a good part to play. I'm sure you've had many in your time, but will you talk on that subject in just a minute, starting now?
I'm not sure whether it means a good part to play on the stage in a theatre or whether on the great theatre of life.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Unfortunately, there was a rather premature.
Yes, a premature.
Yes, you for another 9 seconds, at least.
That we interpret as hesitation, and as it was a correct challenge, you get a point for that, Derek, and you take over the subject, and there are 53 seconds left. A good part to play, starting now.
Apparently, Nicholas Parsons had a very good part to play in the Stephen Sondheim musical Out of the...
Peter Jones challenged.
I thought there was going to be a hesitation.
No, there wasn't.
And I was anticipating it.
For once, actually, he was going to pay me a compliment, I think.
That's why I was... hesitation.
So I disagree with your challenge, Peter, but well tried. So Derek keeps the subject and a point for an incorrect challenge. 49 seconds, a good part to play, starting now.
All sorts of people are trying to get jobs in acting and getting good parts to play these days. Roddy Levadon apparently auditioned recently. In fact, Nicholas Parsons in...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of Nicholas Parsons.
I know. Some people say you can have too much of Nicholas Parsons. In just a minute, you can, because you cannot repeat. And 32 seconds are left for you, Clement, to take over the subject. A good part to play, starting now.
A very good part to play would be that of Anne Ling in just a minute, because she has a stopwatch in one hand and a whistle in the other, and you wonder what she keeps the score with. But there are many other important parts that you could play. I think, for instance, Bottom in Midsummer Night's Dream or Wendy Richards in EastEnders would be...
Wendy Richard challenge.
My name wrong. Can I challenge him for that?
No, but you don't play Wendy Richard in EastEnders. You play
no,
a character,
don't
you?
That's right, you're wrong. Yeah.
Yes, that's it. So tell us the character you play, Wendy.
Pauline.
She's Pauline in EastEnders, not Wendy Richard in EastEnders.
That is why I said Wendy Richards, meaning Richard apostrophe S, denoting the part that she played. You see, her name...
Well tried, Clemens.
Well, her name is Wendy Richard, and she said I got her name wrong.
Wendy, you have a point, and you have 11 seconds on a good part to play, starting now.
I like the part that I play in EastEnders. Pauline is the salt of the earth, and she gets all the sympathy of the public. When Arthur, her husband, was having his breakdown, the fan mail came rolling in.
Just to remind our listeners, we might be getting a few new ones after 24 years, whoever is speaking when the whistle is blown gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Wendy Richard, who now is in the lead with Derek Nimmo at the end of the round. And Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, a hoax. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I suppose the first recorded hoax in history was that took place outside the gates of Troy, when Ulysses and Menelaus got together and had this huge horse built, filled with soldiers, and persuaded the Trojans within that this was an offering to the gods, and they took it in through the wall at night, and after everyone had gone to sleep...
Wendy Richard Child.
There's a couple of hesitations there, is there not?
There were, yes. I think we enjoyed the story, but you were very kind to let the first one go.
An old story.
Yes. But the old stories are the safest on just a minute. 39 seconds for you, Wendy, on a hoax starting now.
Orson Welles got into serious trouble once when he was making this movie and he had this radio program.
Clement Freud Challenge.
It wasn't a movie, it was a radio
show. It was a radio show, The War of the Worlds, H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. It didn't make a movie.
Well, I saw about it in a movie.
I'm sorry, I disagree, Wendy. Clement had a correct challenge, and he has 31 seconds on a hoax starting now.
Quite a good hoax is trying to get into the Paris studio pretending that you're Derek Nimmo, because...
you... And Derek Nimmo challenged.
Well, he waited for the cheap laughs, there was a hesitation.
And he got a round of applause. Derek, I agree, 23 seconds, a hoax starting now.
Horace de Vere Cole is known as one of the greatest hoaxers of this century. In particular, when a Cambridge graduate, he decided to visit the fleet dressed as the Sultan of Zanzibar, with Virginia Woolf with him, no less, mustachioed. They dreadnoughted the boat there, and all the sailors were gathered in front of him.
Richard,
he's talking rubbish.
Yeah. So drave is a deviation of English, isn't it? Isn't it? 5 seconds for you, Wendy, on a hoax starting now.
The person I was talking about earlier on did this radio programme about the war.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
You said radio twice.
You were talking about the radio. You did mention the radio before. You said the film and then the radio. So, Derek, I have to be fair. Half a second, you devil. You've got him with half a second.
He walked down Piccadilly with a cow's udder sticking out of his flies.
So Derek Nimmo was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and has gone into the lead at the end of that round. Wendy Richard, your turn to begin. The subject is spending £1 million. A lovely thought. Will you tell us something about it or what you might do starting now?
I wouldn't know how to go about spending £1 million because I think that amount of money is far beyond my comprehension, as I only have the brain the size of a pea. So what I would do is, I suppose... As long as I was happy enough to have money to pay my bills, I don't need any more jewellery, I have sufficient. You can only wear so many bits and pieces. The same as I don't understand why people have more than one car. You can only drive one at a time. My husband is besotted with motor vehicles. I said, why? Why get yourself an estate?
Derek Nimmo challenge. Derek, what is your challenge?
Why?
Why, yeah. And I think you could have had her for deviation because she's off spending the million. She's talking about not spending a million.
It was reported speech. It was her husband who had actually repeated it, wasn't it?
Peter, lovely to hear from you at last. Well. Wonder where you've gone to. Yes. So anyway, the audience are on Wendy's side, but Derek Nimmo had a correct challenge. He has 25 seconds to tell us something about spending £1 million starting now.
I wish I had the money of Lord Nuffield or Rockefeller so that one could give away millions of pounds to the many deserving, particularly environmental charities in this world with which I am concerned. Care Great Britain is one which I greatly approve of. In their interest this year, I've been to Bolivia and Peru.
Clement Freud challenged.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation. Yes, he paused for emotional effect, and I'm afraid... and Clement has got him with 8 seconds to go on spending £1 million starting now.
I was going to say how very easy it is to spend £1 million, but was shamed by Wendy's extraordinary reticence and having only one small piece of jewellery.
Clement Freud gained the extra point. He's in second place behind Derek Nimmo, then Wendy Richard, then Peter Jones, in that order. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject we thought of is women's rugger. Will you try and tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
There are certain positional difficulties about women playing rugby football. For instance, when the judge says, "You ladies were found doing a loose ruck on Piccadilly Circus, what is your answer?" And the defendant says, "Milad, I am a hooker." It is jolly difficult to sustain that. Other sorts of places in which you might perform on the pitch would be full back, which doesn't sound nearly as good if you have skirts than if you have trousers. I've never seen women play rugby football, but it does seem...
Wendy Richard challenge.
We've had two rugby footballs instead of women's rugger.
Yeah, women's rugger is the subject on the card, and you did mention football before, Clement. Uh-huh. And, oh dear,
I tell you what, Nicholas, in fairness to Peter, I'd like to hear Peter talk about women's rugby.
Don't be so cowardly, you know nothing about it.
Well, may he get in on it. Do you want to take the subject, Peter?
Not if it's charity.
Give Peter Jones a bonus point because we enjoyed his remarks and so did the audience. And Wendy, you are going to hear from you on women's rugger. 24 seconds, starting now.
I know nothing at all about women's rugger. In fact, I know very little about sport, not having much interest in it at all.
Peter, you challenged. What was your challenge?
Repetition.
Repetition of people know. People know very little about and you know very little about. You repeated the phrase even.
Oh, so I did. Oh, dear.
So, Peter, you have 15 seconds to tell us something about women's rugger, starting now.
I didn't like playing rugger myself, and I wouldn't like to wish it on any woman that I know, or don't. But boys at behind in the scrum used to drop little balls of mud down my shorts on the inside and then hit them from the outside.
Well, I'm glad we did hear from you on women's rugger, Peter. It's more like the boys' rugger, but you kept going to the whistle, went, gained that extra point. You're still in fourth place, but you're only one behind Wendy Richard, and one ahead of that is Clement Freud, and then two ahead is Derek Nimmo. And Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, getting your toe caught in the bath tap. That's what Ian Messer has come up for you here. Would you tell us something about that subject starting now?
Well, I suppose it's got the makings of a comedy routine in a film or television show, but of course you'd have to be in the nude.
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of course.
You did say of course.
At the beginning I said of course?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then again just then.
Just then.
Oh, I see, yes.
Of course you did, Peter.
Yes, well, that's the end of that then.
49 seconds for you, Clement, on getting your toe caught in the bath tap, starting now.
I've never quite understood why it is the fire engines are summoned to deal with people who catch their toe in the bath tap. But nevertheless, will you dial 999?
And Derek was the first to spot it, and the audience clapped because
triple
they
spotted
nine. It later. Yes, there were too many repetitions of nine. 21 seconds for you, Derek, on this subject, starting now.
It is extraordinarily painful if you get your toe caught in a bath tap, particularly if it is the hot one and it is still running. And when you try to lean forward to get hold of it and you have a large corpulent belly, like some people, you can't actually manage to get hold of the tap to release it.
It's interesting to observe that sometimes a longer subject can be easier because they can repeat it all or parts of it if they wish. Derek, you were speaking as a whistle wind, gained the extra point. You're one ahead of Clement Freud at the end of round. It's your turn to begin. The subject is pigeons. Will you tell us something about those birds in this game, starting now?
Well, the first time the pigeons were used for conveying messages was during the Olympic Games, but the actual pigeon racing didn't start until the last century in Belgium, and I think the first piece of flight organised by these racing devils was at Antwerp.
Wendy Richard travelled.
Two racing?
No, race and racing.
Racing pigeons and racing.
Racing pigeons.
Oh, racing. All right, yes. Okay.
And Wendy got in first with 42 seconds on pigeons starting now.
In the north of England, racing pigeons are very highly thought of. And the chaps...
Clement Freud challenged.
Aviation.
Why? Right.
Thought of very highly in the south of England as well.
I'm sure they're thought of highly, but it doesn't detract from the fact...
Wendy,
I am supporting you.
Thank you.
It doesn't detract from the fact... Don't be so sensitive. I try to be fair. And it also means they're thought of. She wasn't deviating from the subject of pigeons, because they are thought of highly in the north. Wendy, you have 37 seconds to continue with pigeons, starting now.
People like pigeons everywhere. And there's...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Deviation. I hate the things. I have them the side of my house and they excrete all over. They're awful, terrible, messy, foul, filthy bees. So
they're within trying to give you a message.
Hmm.
I'm the only person here probably who's ever kept pigeons.
Well, you might get in on the subject. Because
I'm
actually,
challenged.
Derek, your challenge was not within the rules of Just a Minute, so Wendy keeps it, pigeons, and 32 seconds left starting now.
One day last summer when we had little Henry in his cage out on our patio, this pigeon flew down and went for his seed. It frightened the living daylights out of him because he hadn't seen a pigeon before. But apart from those sort of pigeons that fly about and do make a mess, I do agree. They are very highly thought.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree, Clement. 14 seconds are left with you on pigeons starting now.
I bought a car sticker in New York which said, keep the streets clean, eat a pigeon. And I was very pleased indeed. I thought that showed exactly the right attitude because they are pretty disgusting animals. You can cook them.
Wendy Richard,
they're not animals, they're fowl.
They're animals.
The half a second with you, Clement, on pigeons starting now.
25 minutes in a Mark IV oven.
Some people find them particularly foul, but, I mean, that's beside the point. Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, has increased his lead at the end of that round. Peter, you said the only one who kept pigeons. What can you tell us about them as you didn't speak in that round?
Well, how long have I got?
As long as you want, if you make it good.
Well, I kept pigeons for a while. When I was a boy, I kept pigeons. I used to take them out in baskets and release them on my bicycle, and they couldn't ride, of course. But they didn't ever fly back. I always lost them. I had to keep getting more pigeons all the time. And this was in the Midlands. It wasn't the North or the South.
Yeah.
But people, I must say, were very fond of them.
And it never came back.
Never came back.
Isn't that
didn't
sad?
Go home either.
Didn't go home. Did you go home?
Was that because you moved the bicycle, do you think?
I think we should give Peter a bonus point for all the pigeons he lost as a little boy. And we continue with Wendy, because it's your turn to begin, and it is finding luggage at the airport. That is the subject. Will you talk on it starting now?
Last September, my husband and I went on a very long trip. When we returned to the wrong airport, thanks to that wonderful airline that flies the flag, when we finally found our luggage...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
When we.
42 seconds to you, Derek, on finding luggage at the airport.
It is awfully difficult finding luggage at the airport, because when you get one of those trolleys, you always get one with only one wheel.
Clement Freud.
Always
you
repeat.
Always get one, yes. Clement, you've got him with 37 seconds on finding luggage at the airport, starting now.
Losing luggage at the airport is a much more usual practice.
And Peter Jones, a challenge.
Deviation.
Yes, of course. He was finding the subject is finding luggage, not losing luggage. Peter, you've got finding luggage at the airport and 34 seconds starting now.
Finding luggage at the airport is the easiest thing in the world. You just go to the baggage hall and there's masses of it. Now, finding your own, of course, is a very different story. It may not be at the same place.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, you hesitated after you found your luggage, Peter.
Yes, I did. I was so pleased Clement with got that, it. Just, you know, little spark of life that I managed to get out.
I think you're still thinking about the pigeons you'd lost, actually.
Yeah, I probably was, yes.
17 seconds, Clement, with you on the subject, starting now.
When the customs officer said, I'm afraid I cannot find your luggage, I said, but I had one piece in Gibraltar and the other in Malta, and there's surely no reason why they cannot both be here. To which the officer replied, I have heard that joke often before and got it better than you have. So I'm...
Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went. He's moved forward. He's in a stronger lead now ahead of Derek Nimmo. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is What I Ate Last Night. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Last night I ate sausages and bubble and squeak.
And Derek Nimmo got implied that he had repetition, but it was a pause. That
well, no wonder if he just had that, and no wonder he didn't brought it back.
That's all I ate last night.
It's only ate last night.
It would be dishonest to claim.
The audience enjoyed your ploy, Clement, and Derek was the first one to pick up the hesitation, so 56 seconds for you on the subject, starting
what
now.
What I ate last night at Great Milton started with some wonderful crudités and a very delicate sauce, and an assortment of canapés, great distinction. This was followed by a surprise, a tureen of vegetables with a cream liquid with them of great...
Wendy Richard Chance.
Got a bit of hesitation there, haven't we?
I don't think so.
I think so. The audience thinks so anyway, so that's enough for me. 29 seconds for you, Wendy, to tell us something about what I ate last night, starting now.
We discovered a really good new Indian restaurant. It's not actually a novelty to other people, but it was the first time we'd been there. And I ate prawn curry, mutter paneer, and then I had boiled rice, I had stuffed paratha, several poppadom, and then I had lime pickle, and I had mango chutney. And
Clement Freud challenged.
Too many hands.
Yes, you kept adding it.
And too many pickles.
And too many pickles, yes. Clement, I agree with your challenge. You have 8 seconds on what I ate last night, starting now.
I'm afraid that I ate sausages and...
Derek, you challenge, but what I'm going to do first, I know it, yes, we give Clement a bonus point because we enjoyed what he said, and I think it's only fair that...
I didn't enjoy what I said, I thought it was good.
He was being very sporting within the game.
It's the first time in his life he's ever told the truth.
But you still... You still get a point for correct challenge, Derek, and you take over the subject with 3 seconds to go, starting now.
A sort of fish cooked in seaweed, which was delicious...
At the end of that round, Clement Freud is still in the lead. He's 2 points ahead of Derek Nimmo. And then comes Wendy Richard, then Peter Jones in that order. Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, the telephone bill. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Telephone bills. Now, they come every quarter. And they're broken down quite often, I understand. I don't read all the material that comes with the bills. There's sometimes in the envelopes a lot of literature which I throw away. And so I don't entirely understand how they work out the cost of making a call. I know they're going to be more next year, though they do claim that they're going to be less because of the inquiries. They're going to charge 42p, is it something like that? And they say that the overall charge to each customer of British Telecom will be a certain percentage lower than it was in the quarters before. Now, have they all put down their things?
No, they haven't.
Oh, they haven't?
No. Derek Nimmo pressed his thing before on the 59th second. What is your challenge, Derek?
Well, deviation, he said, have you all put down your thing? Which has little to do with telephone bills.
Well, that could have been the receiver of the telephone, couldn't it? So, Peter, I disagree with the challenge. And you have 1 second on telephone bills, starting now.
Mercury is the answer.
Well, Peter Jones is then speaking as a whistle went. He's now equal in third place with Wendy Richard. They're just behind Derek Nimmo, and then Clement Freud is still just in the lead. And Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is what I bet on. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I think the thing that I would bet on is the constancy of man's inhumanity to man. It always...
And Wendy Richard Challen.
To man's...
To man's
inhumanity to man. It's a well-known phrase, Nicholas.
So Wendy has a correct challenge, and she has 51 seconds to tell us something about what I bet on starting now.
What I bet on is nothing, really. I don't approve of betting. When you go past these shops where one goes to put a bet on and you see it full of people standing there probably putting their last pounds and shillings...
Clement Freud challenge.
A repetition of pudding.
Pudding. There was too much pudding, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yes.
So Clement's going to tell us something about what I bet on, and there are 38 seconds left starting now.
I bet on just about everything. When I pass a betting shop... I always regret the fact that so many people inside smoke, and it is my ambition to have a no-smoking chain of such establishments, but for the fact that nobody would go in. Because the sad thing is, people who, what I bet on, are the sort of folk who have cigarettes and cigars and pipes and fumes and tobacco emanate from their mouths, noses, and nostrils. Their ears are also contaminated
by
nicotine.
Deviation.
I was just... Yes.
Are you confident of that, Peter? Because that was your challenge.
Yes, I know. Oh, I'm 100%... Well... Good.
10 seconds. For you to tell us something about what I bet on starting now.
I don't actually bet, though I would if I could find enough people to provide me with Havana cigars to go into some of these rather grand betting shops.
So, at the end of that round, Peter Jones is speaking as the whistle went, gained that all-important extra point. He's now in third place, just ahead of Wendy Richard. And, Wendy, it's your turn to begin. The subject, window shopping. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I used to love window shopping at one time, but now London seems to be so overcrowded and people wandering all over the pavements, you can't actually get yourself a direct line up beside the window to shop in, can you? Because there's folk all over the place.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Well, hesitation.
I could call that hesitation. Yes, Derek. 44 seconds for you to tell us something about window shopping starting now.
Well, I wandered along Regent Street tonight, enjoying my window shopping most enormously. The windows were filled with the most glorious goodies imaginable, coming from the four points of the compass. I have never seen such an abundance of magnificence, delectable objects of every kind fairly priced, because all those window shoppers want to see a good buy. And the lights were strewn above, the pavements were clean, there was no litter.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of pavements.
Yes, you came down the pavement. Oh, it was pavement before, and this was pavements.
Oh, was it?
Mm.
Oh,
yeah. There are 12 seconds still with you, Derek, on window shopping starting now.
My wife stopped in a shop doorway and I continued walking along and I suddenly said...
Wendy Richard Chan.
Walking before.
You were walking before, Derek, yes, you did walk before.
I didn't
before.
Have a car.
I think you have a magnificent car, Derek, but you were walking on this occasion more than once. 7 seconds on window shopping with you, Wendy, starting now.
Regent Street.
And Derek Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation.
No.
I am not a ventriloquist. I can't speak without opening my mouth. Give me a chance to open my mouth.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition.
I haven't started.
5 seconds are left for you to keep going on window shopping starting now.
I don't know what part of Regent Street he was walking down tonight, but the streets weren't clean at all.
I wish Derek had had time to finish, because the last thing we heard about his wife was that he'd left her in a shop doorway. Very dangerous thing to do in this
and
area.
In Regent Street as well,
yeah,
yes.
I know.
But the prices were fair. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen of our audience, have you enjoyed yourselves?
Yes.
Wonderful. I will give you the final score. Peter Jones, coming from former triumphs, came in fourth place. But, no, he has triumphed magnificently in the past. Derek Nimmo, who's triumphed overwhelmingly in the past on occasions, didn't quite succeed in beating Clement Freud and Wendy Richard, who have 1 point more than him. So this week we adjudge them to be our joint winners. It only remains for me to say... On behalf of Clement Freud, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, Wendy Richard, thank you for being such a delightful audience. My thanks to Anne Ling, who keeps the score so magnificently, and of course our producer, Edward Taylor, without whom none of us would be here. We hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll want to tune in again the same time next week. And this is Nicholas Parsons, until then, saying goodbye. Thank you.